Oh, he lives with me. Some folks visit, but I'm so glad that the Holy Spirit lives within me. Amen. Join with me and let all of our friends and visitors know how much we welcome them. Amen. How much we love them. Praise God. Praise God. Well, glory to God. If you love this, you're going to love heaven. Amen. Amen. We get over there. What a time it will be. Praise God. There's a lot going on. Keep in mind the Vacation Bible School. After Vacation Bible School, homecoming will be coming up pretty soon. So we intend to be a very, very busy people the next month. But it's all going to be good. Amen. And we invite each and every one of you. If you have your Bibles this morning, praise God. As you're turning to the book of Exodus, I want to read the last verse of the 15th chapter of Exodus and the first three verses of chapter 16. Again, Exodus 15, verse 27. Exodus 16, verses 1, 2, and 3. Praise God. Good to hear the pages of God's holy word turning this morning. The 27th verse of the 15th chapter reads this way. And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water, and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. And they took their journey in 16, verse 1, from Elim. Everybody say, from Elim. And all the congregation of the children of Israel came unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation, everybody say everybody. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill us, to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Would to God that we sat in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Can we pray? Gracious Heavenly Father, we want to first of all thank you for the visitation and the spirit that you've blessed this church with this morning. God, I thank you for the healing. I thank you for those who have come forward this morning. It's a profession of faith. God, I thank you for those who gathered in one mind and one accord today. God, receiving, God, that you would have us to receive. I pray now that you would anoint these lips of clay, God, as just a minister and a vessel, Lord, that the Holy Spirit may speak to this congregation this morning. That you would have us to hear, that we might be submissive, that we might be obedient to your word and to your will. And Father, we do ask, God, that you bless each and every one here this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you would. Amen. Praise God. Well, what a week. What a week. Amen. It's been a good week. Penny and I have spent some time reacquainting. Grandkids are out of town, by the way, and we're reacquainting and had a lot of time on my hands, just really been seeking the will of God. God began to speak to me early in the week, and for the life of me, and I don't know, after so many years of ministering, I should understand and know, God don't fill me in on everything he wants done or wants said. So, some of you ministers don't know what I'm talking about. He'll give you a thought. He'll give you a scripture. He'll give you something to mull over. And after you've searched it and researched it every which way you can, and you still had a blank look on your face, and then God says, that's still what I want you to bring. So this morning, if you don't get anything at all out of this, you blame me. If you get something out of it, you praise God, because it's going to have to be from God this morning. But if I had a message title this morning, it would be The Journey from Elim. The journey from Elim. We recognize the children of Israel. They're those people, amen, that were in bondage for some 400 years. Amen, under the hand of Pharaoh and under the hand of Egyptian captivity. And here we find that not even, I believe I looked in several references, not even 2 months after their deliverance. Some said about 30 days into their trek through the wilderness journey, we find already dissatisfaction, dissension, and murmuring and grumbling and complaining in the ranks of the children of Israel. Let me remind you that not even 2 months have gone from their complete and absolute deliverance. I tried to think back about 2 months or 30 days after my absolute complete deliverance from sin. I don't know if I started murmuring and complaining within 30 days or 2 months. I know it came a little bit later, but I was still so high. I mean, knows what I'm talking about. Glory to God. I was wrong. I didn't feel like my feet was touching the ground. First thing I had to do was I had to call all my relatives and let them know what had happened in my life. My Lord of mercy. Somebody didn't have to shake my hand and say, son, you got saved. I knew it. Amen. Thank God. How many knows it when you came and got true deliverance from the Lord? Man, I tell you what, it's just like somebody unzipped a heavy coat and just pulled it off of you. Just lifted a heavy weight off your shoulder. Amen. I believe I walked out of the church with my head held a little bit higher, not because of what I am, but because of what God did in my life. Amen. Because I came in as a sinner, I walked out as a redeemed saint of God. Glory to God. How many knows what I'm talking about? If you've had that experience, why don't you put your hands together? You can't love him enough for what he's done and set you free. Amen. I'm thinking about the children of Israel walking out. And I know Lot's wife looked back from Sodom and Gomorrah, and I can't help but think maybe the children of Israel, there might have been one or two that kind of looked back, but I believe most of them kept their head looking forward. We're leaving bondage. We're leaving captivity. We're leaving enslavement. We're going to the promised land. Amen. God has delivered us after all of these prayers, after all of these times, amen, that we thought we couldn't make it. And let me just tell you this morning, you may think that you've been in bondage for a long, long time. But let me tell you, the moment that the Lord sets you free, you're not going to think about that captivity anymore. You're going to be too happy. You're going to be too excited. You're going to be too thankful for what God has delivered you from. You ain't got time to be stressed. You don't have time to be worried. You're on your way to heaven. You're on your way to the promised land, my Lord. You'll still have troubles, but you'll have somebody with you through those troubles. So I'm seeing the children of Israel just... Amen. Glory to God. You know how it is on them days you feel good. Amen. That step gets a little lighter and you kind of walk and swing in your arms and everything's good. All the lights are green. Praise God. The cops ain't sitting out at Martin's no more waiting for you to do 36 miles an hour. Amen. Everything's going good. You're just smiling and having a great, wonderful time. Children of Israel were marching out of Egypt, across that city limits. Glory to God. Brother Eddie said, I don't know if they had a city limit. Well, if they did, amen, it was good to see the city limits in the rearview mirror. Amen. As they walked out into freedom, in deliverance after 400 years. And they watched God performed a miraculous thing as he divided the Red Sea. Not only did they march across on dry ground, which in fact is a miracle itself, but as Pharaoh and his army came in, the flood just overwhelmed them and God said, you'll see them no more. So now, not even 30 days, they're getting thirsty and thirsty. I don't know about you, but after deliverance, I still got thirsty. I remember after deliverance, I didn't say, oh no, it's Wednesday night. I said, oh great, it's Wednesday night. Bible study. Amen. I didn't say, oh Lord, Sunday morning. I said, thank you, Lord, it's Sunday morning, Sunday school, a time to come. Amen. And because I got thirsty again. I got hungry for a move of God, hungry to read God's word, hungry to apply it to my life, thirsty from that life-giving fluid, that the water that the Lord Jesus says, I am that good water. Amen. I'm so thankful for that. But not even 30 days, here we find that they begin to get thirsty. They came upon a pool. And how many knows that when you get thirsty, everything you see ain't necessarily good for you? Hello? That may apply physically, and it also may apply spiritually. Amen. Sometimes we're so thirsty we'll drink anything. Hello? Amen. I'm thirsty for that water of life. How about you? So they came to the bitter waters of Marah. Murmuring, complaining, but God sweetened the waters. Man, how many remembers that story?
Get that bush, that tree, cut it down, stir it in the waters, and the waters became sweet. So now they go to Elam. I want to tell you about Elam. How many has ever heard the term oasis? There are oases, if that's a correct word, in wildernesses. See, God began to speak to me this week about wilderness as opposed to captivity. Many people weigh the benefits of both, and in dire times and situations where things are not going good, sometimes captivity looks better than the wilderness. Come on. Children of Israel did it. But the Lord brought them to Elam, a place of 12 springs and 70 palm trees. A place of relaxation. A place of refreshing from walking through the hot desert sand. A place where they could take the backpacks off of their back and lay them down. The places where they could water their animals. The places where the kids could get into the water there and cool off. The place where they had plenty to drink. And everything was good at Elam. Praise God. Everything was good after that infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I mean, I was in an oasis. I was by 70 palm trees and 12 springs of living water, glorifying and just having a wonderful time bathing in the Spirit of God. Thankful for what He delivered me from. Amen. Thankful that I'm on my way to heaven. Thankful that when I go to bed at night, I can lay my head on my pillow and I ain't got to worry about if I don't wake up in the morning, because if I do, I'm going to wake up in glory. What a wonderful feeling that is. I was having myself a time in Elam, as the children of Israel was. But Moses said, "I've got to leave Elam. Got to go. Amen. Got to go into the wilderness." And they began to go through the wilderness of sin. They began to leave the palm trees and the easy living and the overwhelming living water that was abundant there. And they begin to, not only was they thirsty, but now they begin to hunger. The flesh begin to override the spirit. Can I confess? I kind of wish I could live my spiritual life in Elam. But can I share with you, and can I suggest to you, there's not much growth in Elam. Not much growth. I found that the times that I grow least spiritually is the times that I am most blessed. I know that may not make sense to some, and when God began to remind me that this week, I had to think about that a little bit, because I like being blessed. I love being blessed. I love sitting around the palm trees and partaking of the 12 wells of water and just sitting back and enjoying that, but there's not much spiritual growth there. There's spiritual growth when you become dependent on God. When you look around at your life and you realize my life means nothing if I don't have God. You look around at the things that you've been able to amass, and you know, you'd say, what? I'd give them all up in a heartbeat, amen, for my God. Because my God shall supply my needs according to His riches in glory. It's not about me, it's all about Him. It's not about what I got, it's about who I've got, amen. And the who I've got is going to give me what I need, whenever I need. He may not pile it up, but I will assure you, each and every day, He'll bless me with manna from heaven. He'll give me water to drink. If they're bitter, He'll make them sweet. If I need a shade tree, He'll make one in the middle of the desert. If I need a drink of water, He'll pop up a spring that runs like a river right in the middle of my wilderness. Brother Eddie, what are you talking about? I'm talking about, if you just put your faith in God, God will see you through the wilderness. He'll see you through the problems. He'll see you through the stress. He'll see you through the anxiety. He'll see you through the nervousness. He'll see you through the affliction. He'll see you through what the doctor said you'll never make it. He'll see you through what a financial advisor said there's no hope for you. My God shall supply your needs according to His riches in glory. Hallelujah. Somebody say praise God. Hallelujah. How soon we forget. The word whole really reached out to me. It doesn't say 30% of the congregation murmured against Moses and Aaron. Doesn't say half the congregation was upset. Everyone they looked at was murmuring and complaining. 30 days and after deliverance are there about. Less than 2 months. Makes us wonder sometimes. Are we really trusting in God? Are we just living from Elam to Elam? One oasis to the next. One blessing to the next. Hallelujah. Oh, I wish Shadrach was here. I wish Meshach was with him. And Abednego. The three Hebrew children. Man, we talk about how they came out of the fire. No smoke on them. Amen. Not the hair on their head was singed. The only thing that was burned was the ropes that had them bound. There's a message right there. Amen. You can go into the fire bound, but you'll come out delivered on the other side. Amen. Oh, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego was him. The greatest thing that came out of that story was what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. If our God does not deliver us, we still know He's able. You give me a congregation with a mindset like that, I'll show you miracle after miracle. I show you deliverance after deliverance, not because of the congregation, but because of the God that the congregation serves. My God is able to do all things, even the things that are impossible with man. Hallelujah. The whole congregation. Amen. Old brother Moses was looking for encouragement. Went to the tribe of Judah. Every one of them was about ready to stone him. Goes to the tribe of Reuben. They're all sitting around poochy-lipped. I got that term from him. Poochy-lipped. That pretty adequately describes it, don't you? Amen. You want to shut a preacher up? Sit there with the whole congregation poochy-lipped. My Lord. I don't see many of them in the congregation this morning. Amen. But I know a God that'll turn that poochy lip into praise and honor and glory. Amen. Moses, Aaron, everybody is murmuring and complaining. Straighten me out on this. Didn't we just get delivered? Man, I don't consider myself a hateful, offensive preacher. But if the Holy Ghost moves on me really, really hard, and I feel the anointing power of God. I'm not saying I will, but one of these days I think I'm going to look into the eyes of a moaning, groaning, complaining saint and say, didn't we just get delivered? How long you been saved? Has God ever answered a prayer for you? Has He ever opened up a Red Sea? Has He ever rained manna down from heaven? Has He ever had water flow from a rock? Has He ever had your enemies run from you? Glory to God. How soon we forget. Spiritual amnesia overtakes our mind. And we begin to look at what we don't have rather than what we do have. Amen. Praise God. Why didn't you leave us in Egypt? I've gotten upset since I've been saved. I've even questioned God. Not proud of the fact, just being human. I've kind of looked and said, Lord, I just don't see a way out. God says, you ain't got to see your way out. You're not looking through eyes of faith. You're looking through your natural eyes. I am the way out. I am the deliverer. I am the door. I am your victory. I am your deliverance. Thus saith the Lord. You hadn't got to see it. You just got to believe He is able. Hallelujah. I don't know who needs to hear that this morning, but amen, I felt chills go all over me when I said, I am is able to deliver you. You know who I am too. It ain't me. Amen. It's God Almighty. Why didn't you leave us in Egypt? I hadn't got there yet. As bad as I feel, as much murmur and complaint, I have never said, God, why didn't you just leave me in sin? Because I don't want to go back there. Amen. Been there, done that. Burnt the t-shirt. You need to burn your t-shirt. You've been delivered. You don't need that t-shirt.
T-shirt, what's he talking about?
I'm talking about that badge of honor that you did in sin and all that stuff. Get rid of that. You're a new creature. Amen. You've been born again. You don't need that reminder. You don't need that kind of life anymore. You've been delivered out of that lifestyle.
Why didn't you leave us in Egypt?
I read this and got a sick feeling. When we sat by the flesh pots and when we did eat bread to the full. Never mind you worked 12 hours all day. Never mind you didn't have a roof over your head. You know why you was fed so well? Because you can't work in a weakened condition. Satan to get you dependent on him as Pharaoh got the children of Israel dependent on the sustenance he gave them. A thought came to me this week. And you may agree or disagree. That's all right because I'm not quoting from the word. I'm quoting from the book of I Said It. This is what the Lord spoke. Don't look for that book because that won't do you no good. Amen. It's just these mind things that sometimes I have. And really, as I was thinking about it, I thought about the dependency that this statement tells me that they had. They could not and knew that they would never get ahead in life because there was no freedom. They were told when to get up. They were told when to work. They were told when to lay down. And the only thing they got was all the meat that they could eat and all the bread. Not just a little bit. But they said, we ate till we was full. And this thought came to my mind. I would suggest to you this morning that it was not Pharaoh in Egypt that had them under captivity as much as it was the desires of their own flesh. Does that make any sense at all? It was Pharaoh that was blamed. It was Egypt that was blamed. And I know they had a mighty army. But I can almost see a little bit of complacency and comfort in the children of Israel as they knew that as long as they was good little servants and performed the menial tasks that the rulers told them to, they would get their meat and they would get their bread. God began to speak to me about a mass of humanity. Come on. Who's satisfied with just their daily a quota of meat and of bread. But they're still under captivity. Can I tell you, Satan gets the blame. Oh, Flip Wilson started that mess years and years ago. The devil made me do it. Well, if you'd had God within you, the devil wouldn't have no power over you. My Bible says, greater is he that is within me than he is in the world. Amen. My Bible also tells me that I can rebuke him in the name of Jesus and put him in his place. His place is not in front of me. His place is behind me. I rebuke you, Satan. Get thee behind me. Amen. Touch not mine anointed. Do my prophets no harm. I speak to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. So Satan gets the blame. When in fact, so many times, it is our fleshly desires that keep us under bondage. I'd like to be delivered. I'd like to not be dependent on that. But it's gotten to a point where it controls me. So much so that even after I have been set free, even after I have been delivered from Egyptian bondage or satanic bondage or dependency or whatever the case may be, somewhere along the line, when I have a little obstacle or a stumbling block or something that I think doesn't go necessarily right in my life, instead of marching forward through the wilderness, I want to go back to the dependency that had me bound in the beginning. So much so that we had just rather died. Can I pose a question to you this morning? Is death in captivity better than deliverance in the wilderness? Now, if I said, is death in captivity better than the palm trees and the 12 springs of water in Elam? Elam! But Elam was in the midst of the wilderness. Elam was a refreshing place. It never was meant to be the final destination, nor was the wilderness. If you're saying, brother, you don't realize the wilderness I am. That's all right. It has a beginning and it has an end. Amen. The wilderness was on this way to the Canaan land. The land that flowed with milk and honey. I'm not going to live here forever. I'm passing from Elam to Elam through the wilderness. But my destination is home of glory. A place prepared by Jesus Christ himself. That's the reason I'm not going back to captivity. That's the reason I don't care if I never have anything else in this world as long as I have a relationship with Jesus. No, captivity is not better than life in the wilderness. Can I remind us, life can sometimes feel like a wilderness. Brother, you just don't know what I've put through this month. You just don't know that. I don't. Amen, but it's temporary. Temporary. Amen. Glory to God. There's been times. And when I'm thinking wilderness, I'm thinking this is a long way from when I first stepped out of bondage. When I first got delivered. But I found out a thing about wilderness. I found out a thing about endurance. Amen. It's all right to sit by the palm trees and the springs of Elam. Amen. Isn't that good? Felt so good, I'm going to do it again. But Elam was made for refreshing. Elam was made to strengthen us for that that is yet to come. I sit in Elam, but I walk through the wilderness. Never get them mistaken. Don't run through your Elam or walk through your Elam and sit in your wilderness. Back that up and replay that. I don't think it went over real good. Sit. Enjoy your Elam. Refresh in your Elam. Don't run through your Elam. And then sit down in your wilderness.
God, where are you? I don't feel you. Take me back to Egypt. Give me my meat and bread.
Amen. That's the reason when you don't feel like it, you got to walk through the wilderness. Amen. Because there'll be other Elams. But the final destination is Canaan land. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm going to tell you, I just want to remind some of you. This wasn't in my notes. In fact, where are my notes? They're over there. Can you imagine the children of Israel when they looked over those sand dunes and they finally got a glimpse of Jordan? I'm not prophesying. But I feel within my spirit, I got chill bumps all over me. And it ain't from the air conditioning. I feel God speaking. Some of you that under the sound of my voice today, you struggled through the wilderness, but you kept going. You didn't stop. You wanted to. It made sense to. But no, I got to keep going. I got to keep walking. Can I tell you, just over the next sand dune, for some of us who had that vision, who've not turned to the left or the right, but had our eyes on the Lord, I believe there's a spiritual Jordan waiting for you. You can't see it right now, but just over the hilltop, just past one more sand dune, you're going to cross that river Jordan. Hallelujah. Because you persevered. Because you didn't give up. Because God was with you. Hallelujah. Somebody catch hold of that. Somebody realize that Jordan is just down the road. Victory is just down the road. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Can I tell you, when they saw the banks of Jordan, I don't believe anybody in the congregation said, take me back to Egypt. Hallelujah. Hold on. Hold on, saint, it's coming. Hold on to that prayer. Hold on to that miracle that God has already said is going to happen. It's going to happen. I believe it with all of my heart. I'm not giving up. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. What is it? Death in captivity or life in the wilderness? I choose life in the wilderness. Amen. Because death in captivity is final. Life in the wilderness is temporary. Amen. There's a happy ending. Glory to God. The song says, when we all get to heaven. Hallelujah. Glory to God. What a day that will be. Seeing loved ones, amen. Shedding off this old body that's given us problems all this time. And taking on that new glorified body and seeing Jesus. Hallelujah. Sure, life can feel like a wilderness. But God will provide. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you. Well, I didn't even think about that, Lord. That bread just came from nowhere. God just made a way. Praise God. And when you eat up that bread, I'll rain it down again. And I'll rain it down day after day after day until you reach the land of Canaan. How many quail hunters we got in the congregation this morning? No quail hunters? Ain't going to mean much, ain't it? I've hunted quail a little in my lifetime. Now, quail don't just stand there and let you shoot them. They will fly away. Even with dogs. Good dogs. Good dogs are upon them. Now when you hunt them pen-raised quail, sometimes they can't hardly get off the ground because they've ate so much. And at the last minute, they don't want to get up, but the dog will flush them. I can shoot them. Even me, as blind as I am with bifocals, I had a double. Them old fat quails. Damn. But have you ever hunted wild quail? You top the hill. You step like that. You ain't seen a sign of a bird and all of a sudden. scare you to death. But God moved on the quail, and the quail walked into the camp. This is unnatural. I don't know what I'm doing, but it's a blessing for somebody. Where's the quail? They're right under your feet. Where's my blessing? It's under your feet. Amen. Glory to God. You ain't got to look for it. You ain't got to find it. Just believe in God, and God will just bless you. Not only did he rain manna down, bread down from heaven, but he let the quail actually walk into. I can see the children of Israel. Wow. Thank you, Lord. Probably some of them said, man, what a good hunter I am. No. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh. My God will supply your need according to his riches in glory. If you need it today, he'll supply it. If you need it tomorrow, he'll supply it. If you need company, he's there. If you need lifting up, he is the lifter up of our head. He is our provider. He is our refresher. He is our deliverer. Amen. He is the one, amen, that has set us free. Hallelujah. So if I have to walk in the wilderness, that's all right. Because I do not walk alone. I read, and most Bible historians agree, that the trek from Israel to the promised land should not have lasted 40 years. But it did, because of the murmuring, complaining of the children of Israel. And many scholars say if God had delivered them in a straight line from Egypt to Canaan land, they would not have learned to be dependent on God. Why am I walking through the wilderness? So that I can learn to be dependent on God. So that I can learn this world ain't revolving around me. So that I can learn that if I don't need it, amen, if it's going to be a stumbling block in my life, I'd rather not have it. Amen. I'd rather walk through the desert as long as God is walking with me. I'd rather live in the wilderness as long as God was with me than rather than stay in a captive state, amen, where I was dependent on Satan and all the things that he can give you. Amen. Because they will not benefit us at all. But those who learn to be dependent on God, God will make a way for you each and every day. He teaches us to be dependent on him and not material or worldly things. If Satan can keep us dependent, that's exactly what he'll do. Amen. And what does he attack? He attacks our flesh, the desires of our flesh. We'll never be free as long as we're dependent on material, worldly things, our lustly desires, our fleshly desires. Can I explain this to you in closing? The Bible encourages us to exercise our faith. If you have exercised your flesh and your fleshly desires more than you've exercised your faith, then you are become spiritual weak or spiritually anemic. The Bible encourages us and tells us, in fact, in many, many times through the scriptures, that our spirit must have subjection or power over the flesh. Because if you give into the flesh constantly, you become captive to the flesh or dependent on the flesh. Dependent meaning doing what someone else or some other source or some other power actually forces you to do. That's what dependency is. And I'm talking more than just addiction here. Everybody agrees we know addiction. You can become dependent on addiction, but you can become dependent on a lot of other things that are not necessarily substance based. I mean, that's what I'm talking about. Satan can have you dependent on a lot of other things in this world. And that no wonder that flesh cries, oh, I want to be back in that. But the Spirit says, no, 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 no. We got to go this way. we may have to walk through the wilderness a little bit. You know what? I've learned that it's not good for me to get my way all the time. Well, I've learned that in marriage, but I've certainly learned that in... But I've certainly learned that in my relationship with God. Amen. Sometimes I don't need what I'm asking for. Amen. Thank God that sometimes He withholds it from me. Amen. And the blessing is there for me to have. Amen. So let me encourage you this morning. If you're spending too much time in Elam, too much time just not depending on God, just looking for the benefits from God or the benefits from being blessed. And let me tell you a little sign, a little sure scenario that might cause you to think that maybe you are thinking this way, your mindset is that way. When I hear people say, you know what, I didn't have this many problems when I was lost. And I'm analyzing that, and you, what's the good in that? I can honestly say I had rather have problems in the wilderness than an easy life in captivity. You see, I like freedom. I like liberty. I like deliverance. I like being dependent on God and not myself. I like being dependent, amen, that He's going to make a way. The Bible says, Jesus said, you know, give us this day our daily bread. Then being dependent on Him and not the desires of the flesh. So learn to appreciate Elam. Learn to appreciate the oasis of blessing and anointing. To me, and you won't think I'm crazy, but you know, you see chandeliers and beams and pews. I see 70 palm trees and 12 water or springs of water. Come on, you see, where do you see that, bro? Only water I see here is the baptismal pool. No, spiritually, I see coming into the church as an Elam. Coming into church with you. Glorify. I think actions speak better than words. Amen. Praise God. It's hard to do that in the wilderness. Amen. But when, if you do that in Elam, you'll do this in the wilderness. Now keep walking. Keep persevering. Amen. Glory to God. I know this is a week's worth of data, a week's worth of sermon material, but I don't preach that long. I thought I'd heard praise God something. Amen. Glory. I'm a driller rather than a borer. Somebody told me when you strike water, quit boring. Amen. But I pray the Holy Spirit will give you the meaning of what the wilderness is. The wilderness is not always a bad thing. It's not. It's not. And if we get our eyes off of the wilderness and get our eyes off who accompanies us through the wilderness, amen, the wilderness won't seem bad at all. Would you stand? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I know we've already had deliverance today. I know the altar has already been full with folks.